It is recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 15, that Jesus gave three parables about the lost. Carson read for us Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, concerning the lost sheep. We read now verses 8 and 9 concerning the lost coin. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." Beginning in verse number 11, there is the third parable, that of the prodigal son. Verse 11, he said, "A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living." This is the equivalent of being lost. This morning, I want to speak to you about the tragedy of being lost. We sang about God's grace. God's grace is what allows us to avoid the tragedy of being lost. But as we study together this morning, I want you to first note in verses 1 through 6 that there are those who are lost and do not know they are lost. In the parable of the lost sheep, this truth is brought to light. There are those in this world this morning, there are those in this community who are lost and do not know they are lost. There may be some in this building this morning who are lost and do not know they are lost. What a sad and fearful fact that some are lost. And what a tragedy it is to be lost. And what an even greater tragedy it is to be lost and not know that you are lost. It doesn't take much reading of the Bible before one will notice that throughout the Scriptures we are found to be sheep. It was Isaiah in Isaiah 53 and verse 6 who said, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned away to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." It was David who cried out in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." Surely if the Lord is our shepherd, somebody ought to be a sheep. It was Jesus in John chapter 10 that said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." When Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd," he did so because he would lay down his life for us who are to be a sheep. I really don't know that much about sheep myself, only that which others tell us. But if there's anything that I do know from the studies, is that sheep are dumb. They are senseless. They are defenseless in large part. They are helpless, and sometimes they are even hopeless. This has been man's condition since his fall in the garden. Genesis chapter 3. There are those this morning who are lost and do not know they are lost. There are those this morning who have wandered away from God just as that sheep. They are lost. There are those who have never come into the fold of God. They are lost. And if you're here this morning and you are lost and never found, the Bible speaks to the truth of what will happen. I will not be your judge, nor will anyone here be your judge. The Bible speaks clearly to say that if one is lost and not found, and that one departs from this life, never to see another moment, heaven will never be seen by them. Brothers and sisters, there are those who are lost in our community who do not know they are lost. It is our job, it is our task, it is our responsibility to reach out to them, so that they do not die in such a state as to be lost eternally. Some of these folks are good folks. Some of these folks are even church-going folks. They travel to somebody's church. They may even carry their Bible under their arm or in their hand. Good folks, but folks that have never checked the Bible, never opened it to see what it says about God's plan for saving man. Folks that have never checked for themselves, which leads us to the second point and the second category of those who are lost. It's found in verses 8 and verse 9. There are those who are lost by the mistake of others. Notice there in verse 9 that the reason why the coin was lost was because she had lost it. Last three words, I have lost. The coin or the silver, if you follow the story, slipped through her fingers. If you know anything about Palestinian homes, then you know that the conditions of the floor was not good. So whatever she was doing with the coin, somehow it slipped through her fingers and became lost. And so she lit a candle and she began to search for it. And she searched and she searched and she searched, but it could not be found. The coin was lost, not because the coin wanted to be lost, but because of the mistake, because of a mishandling. The coin was not responsible for being lost. However, listen now, listen very closely. Humankind is different. Humankind is responsible for being lost. Every human being is responsible for his or her own lost or saved condition. If you are lost, it is your responsibility, even if it is by the mistake of someone else. You're not a robot. You're not a computer in which someone has to push a button and that button tells you what you are to do, what you are to think, and how you are to behave, and how you are to act, and how to make decisions. Rather, God has given to each one of us a mind and a heart very precious by which He desires of us that we think, and that we reason, and that we question, and that we make decisions. Thus, you don't have to follow everybody and everything that you are told. You can decide who and what you are going to follow. You can read. You can study. You can investigate for yourself. You do not have the right to follow blindly every preacher you hear or every commentator you believe or every commentator you like or every author that you read. You do not have the right to follow every doctrine that you hear on the radio or television. However, you do have the right to stand up for yourself. You do have the right to take responsibility for your salvation. You do have the right to question your leaders, to find out where they are going, why they are going there, and how they plan to get there. Many of our young people are struggling, not because of their own faith, not because of the things that they themselves are struggling with, but because of what their friends are throwing in their face and saying, this is what I believe. And their young people are struggling with what the beliefs of their friends are, because when they read and they study the Bible, they can't find the things that their friends confess to believe in. You don't have to follow blindly. But you don't have to stand before God and play the blame game either. Your foreparents, my foreparents, tried to play that game, and it just didn't work. Read the Old Testament. It recurs over and over again and again. But it begins with Adam and Eve and the serpent there in the garden. They tried to play the blame game. It was somebody else's fault for why they did what they did. It was somebody else's fault for why they were in the wrong. But they each received their part of the consequences. And the message for you and I today from the garden is that we cannot play the blame game. Just remember that our foreparents tried it and it did not work. So you had better not rely upon it to get you into heaven. I tell you this morning, that history has shown us time and time again what happens when individuals do not stand up for themselves and do not question their leaders as to where they are going. I beg you, do not let the will of God the will that God gave you to stand up for yourself and to question your leaders and to search out the truth for yourself to go to waste. Do not let things happen to you because you do not question the judgment of others. Do not let things happen to you like what happened 36 years ago on November the 18th, 1978, when down in the jungles of Georgetown, Guyana, where hundreds of individuals followed blindly the leadership of one named Jim Jones, where hundreds of people died because they did not question their leadership. They did not stand up for themselves. It was David Koresh out in Waco, Texas, who led another group of individuals to their unwanted graves because they would not question his leadership. It was Marshall Applewhite out in California who led 38 souls to that godless eternity, being lost for eternity, waiting on a space shuttle to land. Why? Because they did not question their leaders. Whatever the group is, whatever the religious body is, if your leaders do not want you questioning them, I suggest to you very strongly, you had better start thinking differently. I'm glad this morning that I can stand before you and say that I am a part of a group in which we are not afraid to be questioned. We are not afraid to be scrutinized. We are not afraid to be investigated. We are not afraid to sit down and talk about our beliefs. We are not afraid to discuss the Bible and our beliefs with anyone. And it's not because of who we are or who we think we are or what we think we know. It is because we rest all of our beliefs, all of our convictions upon the inspired, infallible Word of God that has stood the test of time. It's standing the test of time today, and it will stand the test of time so long as this earth stands. The thought of being lost, the thought of being lost by the mistake of someone else, sends chills down my spine. Error, false doctrine as it really is just a lie. It is a lie that is dressed up in a religious coat. It's not the truth, but it's portrayed as being the truth. There are those in this community who have been led to believe that they can say a sinner's prayer in order to be saved. But if I can be frank, if I can be candid, if I can be openly honest with you for a moment, I've searched the pages through of God's Word to try to find where this sinner's prayer is and where it says that the sinner's prayer can save you, and I cannot find it. If you have found it, I ask you to share it with me. Share it with me so that I will not be lost. But as it stands now, I have not been able to find it. Therefore, I cannot believe in it. Therefore, I cannot stand for it or teach it. Don't take my word for it, though. You read the Bible. You study it for yourself. You see if you can find a sinner's prayer that will save you. Three examples that we may look at. Do you remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He was a religious man, Acts chapter 8, verse 27 to 28. Help me out for just a moment. If Ethiopia is in Africa and Jerusalem is in Judea, in Canaan, then he traveled a great distance. Geographers, in fact, tell us that he traveled about 15,000 or 1,500, rather, miles from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. What was his purpose for traveling that great distance? It wasn't business. It was to worship. And it was on his way back that we learn something about this man. We learn that he went all the way to Jerusalem to worship. He went all the way up there and he worshiped and was on his return home when it is revealed to us that he was not right with God. He was not saved. On his way back, the Ethiopian eunuch, as he's traveling along and he's reading the word for himself and he's reading Isaiah, God saw that he was trying and that God saw that he really wanted to come to know God, that God sent him help. And I believe that there are good and honest folks today who are searching for truth. And when God sees that you are trying, when God sees that you really want to know the truth, He's going to send you help. He's going to send you help. God sent Philip to help this financial guru. And that's why the Lord has placed the church, His church, in this community to help somebody. We don't know who it is. We don't know when they may be here. But we know that God has placed the church here to help somebody. And as the passage there in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 and following continues, the Lord sent Philip to the eunuch and he asked him, "Do you understand what you read?" And the eunuch said, "How can I except someone should guide me?" I am so glad and so thankful that he was honest. He was honest enough to say that I don't understand, that I need someone to show me the way. And I believe that there are still some honest folks out there who do not understand but are willing to be taught. Verse 35, then Philip began at the very scripture where the eunuch was reading, and he preached unto him Jesus. As they were going down the way, the eunuch said, "Stop, stop. For when one hears the gospel, the good news, he can never be the same again." We just sang it. "He touched me." Could never be the same. And so the eunuch said, "Stop." And nowhere in the context do we find that baptism was mentioned, that baptism was discussed. But when the eunuch said, "Stop," he said, "Stop," because he saw water and he wanted to be baptized. Verse 38, then they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. In Acts chapter 9, we see the conversion of Saul, later known as Paul, who wrote close to the majority of the New Testament. Paul, by the work of the Holy Spirit, never in any of his writings said, "Just raise your hand and say a prayer, and it will save you." Or to just repeat after me this prayer that I lead, and you will be saved. Rather, Paul said, "Do that which I have been told to do." The very thing that Paul was told by Ananias to do, he taught others to do. Arise and be baptized. For it was Paul who stayed for 3 days and three nights in prayer, verse 9 and verse 11 of Acts 9. If prayer could save a man, and prayer alone, I think surely 72 hours of prayer would save him. But he was lost. He was not saved because the Bible does not teach prayer alone can save one. Thus Ananias had to come to him. And when Ananias came to him, he told him, "Get up. Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Paul was determined not to be lost when he came to know the real truth. Do you remember Cornelius? Acts chapter 10. He was a devout man, one who feared God, who did all that he could to help those who came his way. He prayed to God always. And in verses 5 and 6, God wanted Simon, who is also called Peter, to tell Cornelius the words by which he must be saved. Simon, also called Peter, preached the truth to Cornelius. In verses 34 to 43 of Acts 10. And it's in Acts 10, verse 48, that he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Cornelius and his household were determined that they were not going to be lost, that they were going to learn the truth. And when they came to know the truth, they were obedient to it. There are those this morning who are lost and are lost by the mistakes of others. Do not rely upon them for your own salvation. There are those who are lost and they know they are lost. We read verses 12 and 13. The context actually begins verse 11. It goes all the way through the end of the chapter. The boy went to his father and he told him, "Give me that which is mine. I do not want to stay at home anymore. I want to be on my own." And the father gave him the portion of his goods which belonged to his son as he divided out the portion. Then the son went and he spent all that he had in riotous living. It's the kind of like the church member who knows where they ought to be but are not where they ought to be. To you, it is said that you know that you need to be in the house of God. You know that you need to be in the family of God. You know that you need to be in the church. You know that you need to be in the study of God's Word. Yet you deliberately and with stubbornness have walked away from the church. That walk begins when people stop studying the Bible, when people close their prayer closets, and when people quit fellowshipping with one another, from which we draw strength and encouragement in living the Christian life. The sheep of the church become edged away, and as they are edged away, the world takes hold of them and edges them further and further away until they are lost. You know things have changed. You know that things have not been the same since you wandered away from God, since you let the world come in between you and your relationship with God. You know things have not been the same when you've been outside of the fellowship of brothers and sisters in Christ who can encourage you and do encourage you. You know that things have not been the same since you quit studying, since you quit reading His Word. And as you look back, you can tell that from that time, things have gone downhill. You know it. But what are you going to do about it? You wake up in that pig pen and you see that things were better when you were with God and you're faced with a choice. It was Jeremiah who said long ago in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, "I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his steps." You can't make the Christian journey by yourself. You don't have the ability. None of us have the ability to make it alone. Oh, how we need to walk this journey with Jesus Christ, walking hand in hand. We need to stay under the direction of Jesus Christ. We need to stay in the fellowship of His children. We need to stay in the study of the light of His Word. It reminds me of a little girl who was lost on the streets of London. And when the police found her in an attempt to help her find her way back home, they asked her if she remembered any special markers. And the little girl said, "No, sirs." And they began to drag her mind, trying to find something that she remembered. And so they asked, "Do you remember where Westminster Abbey is?" "No, sirs." "Do you remember where the House of Parliament is?" And with tears swelling in her eyes, she said, "No, sirs." "Do you remember where the House of Commons is?" "No, sirs," she said. Then the men became frustrated because they were hopeless in trying to assist this young girl in finding her way home. Then one of the men, one of the officers, remembered a very famous place by the name of Charing Cross. This was one of 12 lavishly decorated stone monuments, each one in a different city, with tall crosses erected by King Edward I. And when the officer remembered the Charing Cross, he turned to the young girl and he asked her, "Do you remember a Charing Cross?" And immediately, with that tear-stained face lit up as she shouted, "Yes, sirs, I remember the cross. If you can just take me to the cross, I can find my way home. For home is beyond the cross." If you're going to find your way home this morning, if you're going to find your way home out of sin, out of moral decay, out of moral confusion, out of religious error, you will have to come home by the way of the cross. Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." We are here this morning because of the result of the cross. The church is here as a result of the cross. Jesus shed and gave His blood for the church. We are here this morning because of the cross, and we must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. We shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross we miss. The way of the cross leads home, the song goes on to say. The way of the cross leads home, and it is sweet to know as onward we go, the way of the cross leads home. If you are not in the way, if you are not in Christ, in His body, if you are not in the church that we read about in the Bible, and you're not in the way, sadly but honestly, we must warn you, for you are lost. And we are here to reach out to you, to help you to get into a relationship with Jesus Christ through your obedience to His will. Not because we are perfect, not because we know everything, not because we know most things, but because we know what He has said in His Word. Jesus told us all how to change our lives for Him. He requires of us that we hear. Luke 8, verse 8, "Other seed fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great." And as He said these things, He would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Has the message of God's Word fallen on good soil this morning? Has it fell on good and honest hearts? Has it fell on the ears of those who will hear? We hope and we pray that it has. Because we hope and pray that you will do that which He requires of us all. That we believe, John 8, 24, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." That you will repent, Luke 13, 3, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That we will confess His name, Matthew 10, 32, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." That we will be baptized, John 3 and verse 5, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit." And for all of us, especially those who have given their life to Christ and have been baptized, He requires of us that we live faithful. Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." The New American Standard Bible footnotes that phrase, "be faithful," with "prove yourself faithful." Are you a child of God, one who has given their life to Christ? Are you proving your faithfulness? Are you proving your obedience. Jesus says it is through baptism that He will save us and add us to His church. Acts 2, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved, those who were obedient, those who had been baptized as He requires. John 3, verse 5, He was adding to His church. So what is this baptism of which Jesus speaks? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us that baptism now saves us. It goes on to explain it is not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray that you want a good conscience. You want to be able to lay your weary head down at night knowing that you are safe, knowing that you are secure, knowing that you can avoid this tragedy of being lost. What a tragedy it would be for you to leave here this morning lost. Lost and not know that you are lost. Lost by the mistakes of others. Or lost. And lost because of your own choices. Lost in a condition in which you will be lost for eternity. An eternity away from God. What a tragedy it would be to depart from this life in a lost condition. You can avoid such a tragedy this morning by responding to the Lord's invitation. Responding to God's invitation of grace given through His Son, Jesus Christ, upon the cross. An offer made freely available to anyone and to everyone who will come to Him. All He requires is that you come to Him in obedient faith. Have your sins washed away and live faithful. This morning, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, whether by the need to be obedient to that will and be baptized, or whether to be obedient to the will of God and living faithful and making things that have been amiss in your life right with Him, now's the opportunity, now's the chance. Do it now as we sing to encourage you. Will you come?